Praise the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and good morning, good morning. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Friday's broadcast of Words from the Word. I am Overseer Paula Thornton, and I am blessed to be a part of the vision of the Apostle Dr. Jeanette Houghton. We are so grateful for the opportunity to transform the airways through the LFC Voices of Global Ministry. We're declaring and proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. We are excited to share this revelation of God's word and heart with you daily on blogtalkradio.com. You can tune in on your computer, on your commute to work, on your computer, at lunch break, coffee time, tea time with friends, at home, in your meditation time, in the evenings. You will have access to biblical teachings and trainings, meditation and music and insight that will empower, enrich, and strengthen your walk with God and in His kingdom. There is a listing of all of the Blog Talk Radio family available, and if you would like it, if you could email me at pc_Thornton, that's T-H, O-R-N-T-O-N at yahoo.com. We can get that listing out to you. Again, welcome, welcome, welcome. We are going through the next seven words of Christ after his resurrection. We're excited about that. We did word one last week, as well as the introduction, and we're able to go through week by week. We should end up on Pentecost, the week of Pentecost, which I'm excited about that. The messages that's revealed through the next seven words and sayings of Christ is indicating a pattern and a lifestyle that happens after the resurrection power of Christ has entered your life through salvation, through revelation, through the different seasons. What happens afterwards? What happened after that holy and wonderful Sunday morning? What happened on Monday? What happened for the next 40 days? We had looked at the 40 and what that meant, and so we will do a little review of that a little later, but we want to start with one of the mandates of the ministry, and that is the prayer watch, prayer focus. We have one every month, and starting in January, so this is the month of April. We are on the fourth prayer watch, and we have a command your morning prayer focus that we would like to share with you this morning. For we want to establish God's kingdom. And as the prayer watch comes during the Lord's time of revealing his glory, this occurred when the identity of our future is established. This is the prophetic watch. And we be careful of those demonic ambushes of sleepiness. This prayer watch is from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. It represents the power of resurrection as we watch with the Lord. And so this is how we command our morning, by declaring, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I rise early to declare your lordship. I get under the covering and anointing of the early riser. I come in agreement with the heavens to declare your glory. Lord, release the mystery unto me. Bring heaven down to earth. The stars, the chief angels, are battling on my behalf ahead of time. My appointed times have been set by you, God, in the heavens. I declare the word that will make contact with the womb of the morning and make her pregnant with my promise. At sunrise, the dawn will give birth to the will of God. The light will shine on wickedness to shake it out of the heavens. At twilight, my enemy will flee. Newly found spoils will await me at my destination. My destiny is inevitable. That is our prayer declaration for today for the fourth prayer watch. Praise the Lord. We are grateful for all of the ministry partners that are sharing with us this morning, and everybody is live. So at any time that you have anything you would like to share, insight, give, comments, we welcome that dialogue back and forth. So good morning, good morning, good morning to all of our ministry partners. Good morning. Good morning.
Okay. Good morning.
Amen, amen. So we're looking at the second saying, and we're going by the, we're using the resource of Shane Sanford, the seven next words of Christ. And so this morning we would like to look at, Matthew 28:8-10. So do I have a caller out there that would read that for us this morning? That can read that with us this morning. And that would be Matthew 28:8-10.
I'll read that for you, overseer, if you like.
Amen.
Beginning at the eighth verse, and this is the King James Version. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
Amen. Amen. Now I would like to read it out of the Message Bible. I love to get to hear the insights from the different perspectives of the versions. It says, the women, deep in wonder and full of joy, lost no time in leaving the tomb. They ran to tell the disciples. Then Jesus met them, stopping them in their tracks. Good morning, he said. They fell to their knees, embraced his feet, and worshipped him. And Jesus said, you're holding on to me for dear life. Don't be afraid like that. Go tell your brothers that they are to go to Galilee and that I'll meet them there. There you will see him. Now I have told you. And that's from the Message. So I love the perspectives that we get in the Message Bible, as though it's, Bishop uses a version that's like normal, just talking. And so in looking at that, I wanted us to look at, because the word is, greetings and don't be afraid, we need to take it apart and see just what was going on in that encounter that the women had with Christ. And so I wanted to look for the word afraid. And so I'm just going to give you some dictionary definitions, and then we'll look at the strong definition. But it says afraid. One of the definitions, put my glasses on, is scared witless, with witless, scared to death, terror-strucken, frightened out of one's wits, scared out of one's wits, shaken in one's shoes, shaking like a leaf, intimidated, alarmed, panicky, faint-hearted, cowardly, even afraid. That's one definition. One definition. Two is saying anxious about the well-being or safety of someone or something, or unwilling or reluctant to do something for fear of consequences. So I like the last two, well, all of them paint a different picture when we hear the word afraid, don't be afraid. And as they were gripping his feet, I think that speaks to one of the first definitions here by the dictionary, you know, scared out of, you know, scared witness, terror-stricken, scared to death, frightened, alarmed, faint-hearted, holding on to him for dear life. And so we see this definition, and we will see the definition in the Strong's as it relates to this particular scripture, is to be put to flight by terror, by terrifying, to scare away, to fear, to be afraid, to be struck with fear, to be seized with alarm, one who's startled by strange sight or occurrences, or those struck by amazement, to revere and to treat with deferred or reverential obedience, to be afraid. And so we see that the women are responding to their encounter with God with all of these emotions that he perceived, and he was bringing them comfort. And when we hear this, it is also a part of our response when we meet him in a new place, a new name. They didn't recognize him at first. They thought him to be a gardener. And so when we don't recognize this particular character of God that he is revealing to us in our new season, it does cause us to be afraid, to be concerned about our safety, to being anxious, being unwilling or reluctant to continue, to be worried that something undesirable will occur or be done. And I think that's all of our responses to those things that God would often ask us to do in a new season, things that we're not familiar with, things that are stressing us and growing us, and that's our response to them. And as they fell down, they acknowledged him, because in all our ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. And so they acknowledged him by bowing down and holding on to him. And he was assuring them that even when they let go, and they had to in order to continue to do what was assigned for them in this season, that it would be okay, that they wouldn't have to worry about it. They wouldn't have to be unwilling or reluctant to do it. They don't know, without fear or hesitation, they could trust what they were seeing, what they were experiencing, what they were hearing. They could receive the peace that he was giving them just by saying good morning, just by acknowledging them, by extending to them. He made a declaration for their, he commanded the day for them when he said good morning. That's commanding. When we speak with the authority of the resurrection Christ in us, within us, and we say good morning, we are commanding the morning. We are speaking good according to what heaven declares to be good. And we're speaking that over the people that we greet. So even our greeting is a part of our preparation, if you will, to receive the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit in this, when this 40 days of their preparation is over. So when our preparation is over and we walk into the power and the anointing of God, all of these things will have been established. established in our spirit, so we will understand the power of addressing and declaring as we're learning in the prayer watches. All these things are coming together to empower us to be effective and to be powerful witnesses for Christ, because when we go through the rest of the sayings, we will see where that is the ultimate. That's what all of this was leading to. That's what his interaction with them was, bringing them to a place where they would then go forth in him as his representative. And so when we find ourselves in a new season, when, you know, you can be in a service and you get, or be in your meditation time and reading and learning and studying, and you get this just powerful revelation of a newness and another level of God, and we get excited about it, and then we kind of hold back, we kind of stall, not maybe even hold back, but we kind of stall when it starts to unfold because it's unfamiliar to us. And so we got to hold on to the things that we, or the way that we knew to do before, when he is bringing us into another place of, and not glory to glory to glory, of serving and of trusting and of seeking him in a way to fulfill the emotions and the anxieties and the different concerns that we have. God is acknowledging that those concerns are legitimate. They're valid. And Christ is saying, but I am the answer to them, because I can speak and declare, do not be afraid. His declaration, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Don't be put to flight. Don't run away for fear of. You can be struck with amazement, absolutely, but we need to be struck with amazement and then not stay in that place, but we need to take that experience. We need to take that powerful meeting of the things of heaven and then present it to him and see what he wants us to do with it. You know, let that amazement fuel us for what's next, for what he is going to say, what he wants us to do, and not just be so caught up in it that we miss what we're supposed to do, why he gave it to us in the first place. Again, callers and partners, you're on the line. Your lines are open. I do want to encourage dialogue. So if anybody wants, you know, have insights, want to share, please come forth. We're just dialoguing this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. On the second word.
Overseer, I wanted to make one comment. When you highlighted afraid, it just kind of occurred to me that even though he had shared with them what this was going to look like, that they were still afraid. And how many times do we ask the Lord for something, or the Lord gives us revelation on something, and when it starts to come to pass, and I think maybe because we don't know exactly what it's going to really look like. I mean, we understand what the big picture is going to be, that, you know, that he was going to raise the temple up, that he was going to come back, he was going to be with them again. It was only going to be 3 days. They actually knew that, and he had shared that, you know, with the woman and with the disciples, but they were still afraid, even though they were anticipating his resurrection. And then the second thing you had mentioned, one of the characteristics, and that I think one of the renderings talk about, that they thought that he was the gardener, that we don't see Christ until he wants us, until he reveals himself to us. You know, that it's the Holy Spirit that draws us, that we can be in the midst and really not see him until his perfect timing comes into play, where he wants us to really see him. So they were there with him, you know, but not really understanding that was him until he revealed himself in a, kind of like in a different capacity, so to speak, or unveiled their eyes so that, you know, they could actually see him.
Absolutely. It's interesting, you know, as you were speaking, I think we need to also, we can relate to the fact that they saw him. They saw him. You know, you were saying he didn't reveal who he was. So it's like we see him, but sometimes we miss, I want to say, interpret the God that we're seeing in this season.
Mm-hmm.
We're not, I don't know how else to put it. It's like we don't recognize him for, like you were saying, for the revelation that he's going to be in our life, but we do see him. And we acknowledge him. They saw him and they acknowledged him. They just didn't acknowledge the God. They didn't acknowledge him as being Christ. And I thought that was interesting because the Bible refers to God as the gardener and Christ as the vine. And so were they seeing God, the gardener of the garden? They were seeing almost a revelation that, you know, you can see something, you see the revelation, but you don't even have a clue that that's what you're seeing. And yet he really is in his love for us and in his desire to share himself with us. You know, he will give us glimpses, you know, of understanding of who he is and just in order to just be there smiling on us, you know, to say, now I'm going to declare good morning to you, you know, as the gardener, as the God of the universe. You know, this was so powerful to me that they saw him as a gardener because the gardener was in all white. And they describe him. They felt it necessary, or the word gave the description of the gardener. And so I even had in doing this study, understanding so that was God, Jesus, as he walked among them, he walked among them as a man. And then after the resurrection, did he walk among them as God? Because he had to go, he told them, don't touch me originally because he hadn't gone to heaven and that sort of thing and come back. And so that revelation or that sight that they saw of him as a gardener may not have been a negative, but a even a more powerful of a revelation than we can even fully understand, because the Bible does refer to him, you know, as the gardener, the one, and he's the Christ. And so every word, every encounter that Christ had with those he chose to reveal himself to after the resurrection is a powerful key for Christian living, a powerful key for Christian ministry, and it's going to provide for us, as we meditate and study on these things, it's going to provide for us powerful insight and empowering fuel to do those tasks which we are going to be called upon to do. Anyone else? Collins, you're on the... Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning, Minister Deborah. I was listening to Minister Deborah, and in reading the scripture, when Jesus was walking along and he overheard the conversation of two of them, and he asked them, you know, what they were communing about, and they said, you know, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And he told them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So even though they had walked with Christ, it seemed like they still doubted that he was the one, you know, to redeem the world, that he was the Messiah. And, you know, he spoke to them and told them, "I'm not Christ, have suffered these things and to enter into his glory." So he quoted, you know, unto them the things, scripture unto them, so that they could get an understanding. And then it went on to say, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. So that was in, Luke 24:18-31.
Amen.
After he spoke to them, their heart burned within them, you know, while he was talking to them.
Yes.
So I think we sometimes experience that in our lives also today.
Absolutely. And as he, as you were saying, and as he walked with him, I used to love to read the part where he said, "And then he was no more." You know, and so, you know, think about it. If you're walking or you're talking, you're just sitting, and someone is sitting and not there anymore. You know, and it's like we're kind of missing this sometimes, you know, because of our the reality of our life. You know, that just doesn't happen, but it does. You know, and God does it. And so these people, we've read the story. We know it from beginning to end because we've read the book. But these individuals were living it out. They didn't have a reference study themselves to be approved. They could have to, like you're saying, he told them, you know, and yet they doubted. They doubted, but I don't even know so much if it was a doubt. They questioned because this was so new to them. They had no idea. Okay, what are... It's even to the point where, and I think we need to be like that. They were at a point where, okay, what are we supposed to think now? You know, I'm not even sure what we're supposed to think now. Let's go over what we saw. You know, now what are we supposed to think? And so it's like, well, you remember this and you remember that, you know, and there's two or three come together. There he was in the midst. And, you know, we say that, and yet then they were able to see him, and then he wasn't there anymore. And it does that several times in the New Testament where it, either Christ or even the disciples, and they weren't there anymore. I think when the man that was studying, the eunuch that was studying, and someone came to, you guys can kind of help me out with the story, came by and said, you know, when he was there to help me, I'm trying to understand, he was reading, and the person that was there with him, and I wanted to say Peter, but I'm not sure who it was, but then after he was done, then he wasn't there anymore. And so these were things that were happening to people, and I'm sure it made them question even their sanity, or did this really happen, or wow, you know, we know it's in the book, we read it. But they were experiencing it. And I think putting ourselves in their place and relating what happened to them to some of the experiences that we have today, where we know that it was him. We know that it was his presence. Some of the experiences in the Seven Wonders, you know that. And yet you can't explain it to people. And then even after it's over, it doesn't necessarily keep its same intensity in our life, because then life happens, and it, not that it fades away, but it's not as strong as it was when you're in the Seven Wonders. And so I think that this is just another way of Christ allowing us to understand our journey is not much different from the journey of Mary and Martha and Paul and Silas and Luke and John, and it's the same, and what we see happening to them, it's going to, or has happened to us, and he has a response to it that will bring us comfort and bring us peace, because he is, you know, the God of peace. And he does not condemn us because we didn't believe every word he said when he said it the moment he said it, as with the disciples. Absolutely.
Yeah. I think you were referring to Acts 8, Philip.
Okay.
Philip,
yes.
When you were talking about the Ethiopian eunuch, I believe that's in Acts 8. Philip, the evangelist, was told by the angel, you know, when he was on the road, I think from Jerusalem to Gaza. But that's where that incident is found.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to make sure we did get that correct. And so these are times and these are moments that it's so sweet, you know, when you're in a place of wondering and trying to understand, you know, what it is you're reading, what it is God is saying in our life. We need an interpretation, whether it's in dreams or visions or just an unfolding of things, like what on earth is going on. So just like the men that were walking, and just like the eunuch that was studying, it's like, what on earth? I need some direct, and we need to be assured and comforted that he will give that to us. And that is ministry of Holy Spirit. Yes. Yes, yes.
Yes, and good morning. This is Minister Pat.
Good morning.
And when I read that scripture as well, I journeyed into our lives. You know, you look at your life, and when you're in his presence, you know he's there, but you are afraid of situations or circumstances that come about, and you know his word, and you can... You know his word, and you know he's there, but you get you fear situation, and you can see him throughout the journey that he has been. You know, once you look back later on, that he was with you all along, and it brought me to the footprint in the sand, where when you thought he wasn't there, that was when he was carrying you.
Mm-hmm.
So. And a lot of times in our lives, if we just trust him, even though we don't know what the situation or circumstances might be, we trust him, it will, you know, work out for our good. But a lot of times we want to, like, look in a glass ball and be able to see everything that's going to come forth. But he might just give you bits and pieces at a time. And we have to trust him and know that just as he gave us one step, he will give us the second step, and we don't have to be afraid. But we just need to trust him throughout every situation and every circumstances. So when I read that, even though everyone had stated, they still was afraid, we ourselves sometimes fear. But he said, fear not.
Amen. Amen. And I believe that part of that bits and pieces, you know, he doesn't give us the whole picture. Because honestly, if he did, we would try to interpret it our way and make it look like we want it to look. Or we think it should
look. You are so right.
And we don't even have the right kind of eyes yet for it to look like he is going to let it look. So he can only give us a glimpse until he is writing and painting the picture in our spirit through the knowledge. He says, multiply knowledge and grace be multiplied unto us as we get knowledge of him. And so that's when that picture is forming more clearly. You know, so I praise God for his wisdom, obviously, but, you know, just the power that he has in providing everything that we need and then assuring us, it's okay, I got this. And that's pretty much what he was saying to the ladies when he met them, the women looking for him. And we had talked last week about, you know, exactly what him, who were they looking for? I think that was the first word, who are you looking for? And so it's like they didn't really even know who they needed to look for in this season. Like we say, even though they had been told, he had told them he was going to raise the temple back up. So he gave them the plan, and they made a picture in their own mind, and that wasn't the temple he was talking about. And so he has to do bits and pieces for us because his thoughts are so much higher than ours. And yet he so patiently and long-suffering and with such gentle, loving kindness, he ushers us from glory to glory to glory. And he does it not just patiently, but he does it, he's excited about doing it with us. He's excited about sharing himself and his plan with us. He's excited about revealing the thoughts that he has towards us to us. And so all of these things that Christ was doing would establish a character in the people he was contacting, the character in the women in ministry, a character in the men in ministry, a character in those that were going to be exposed to a ministry persecution and suffering, because it was going to happen. And so one of the definitions of fear was fearing, being anxious about what might be. What is it going to look like? I'm not sure. And, you know, is it going to look like it looked for him, you know, when he was coming down the street with the cross on his shoulder? Oh, my God, is that, you know, so there is a righteous fear or concern, and yet he was saying, yes, there is, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because I am here. I am here. And then after he said he was here, because there were three things that Jesus' second word presented to the women of God was, first he greeted them, which I feel he spoke. He declared for them their day. Their day being not just the 24 hours, but this is your day to start this ministry that I'm about to. And he comforts them in knowing that. And then he gives them their task. Go and tell. Go and tell. And he gives them the instructions of what to say. And that's so part of our journey with God in ministry. You know, after he invites us to join him, and then he comforts the fear that we have to adjust our life to in order to join him where he is, and this is a part of experiencing God. Again, we see the pattern. There is a pattern and there is a purpose, because it brings about the power and the plan of God on earth. And then the task of assigning us, you know, our ministry destiny. This is where your destiny is unfolding. It obviously started a long time ago for the women in the garden, but it was unfolding. Now this is what you're going to do. And at that point, up until that point, they served him. They followed him. They came, you know, about to learn from him. Now he's giving them assignment. Now you start in ministry. You go and tell. And I thought it was very interesting that he sent the women to go tell the men. And so we have to humbly, as women, accept that positional destiny that we have. But it was go tell the men that I will meet them. And so it's revealing to us a very deep, and I don't know all of it, but it's a very, very vital piece of attitude that we have to embrace as this assignment was given. And it was given to the women. And so often, you know, women say, well, you know, we got to do it because the men ain't here, and da-da-da-da. No, our job is to go and tell them where God is going to meet them. And that's part of the assignment that was given this. And this wasn't the first time in Scripture. A woman that met Christ at the well, she went and converted a town. She went, and often people say, how did they know how this happened? What apostle had this experience, so he wrote it down in the Gospels. But he could write it down from having heard what she went to the city and told the people. And so she went and told what he did. And so they were able to meet him. And also when Christ was born and he was being brought to the temple, and there was a woman there, Anna, who had been there from a young woman. And when she saw the Christ, she went and told the people. And so as a babe, that babe has been born. And so, again, a woman went forth to declare the Savior to the world. And so just as women, how we must humble ourselves to, as the apostle always says, you know, to make the order of God be the head of the church, and to honor them in our marriages, in our church, as our sons, and all of these things, and to teach them and not to condemn them or to judge them, but rather it's our job to tell them. Because if they didn't do their job, I'm not going to say Christ wouldn't have found them, because he would have, but can you see what would happen if the women just decided, oh, he met with me, so I'm that, and I'm this, and okay, it's all about me now, because he talked to us, and we touched him. I mean, can you see how that would have changed things? And so I believe that this was put there, you know, as keys and as messages for us. Comments, questions, concerns, insights?
Minister Follett, I found it interesting. This Roberta, that the women went seeking, and the men were waiting, and the men were waiting. And then I found it interesting that he showed himself differently to each one. You know, he showed himself one way to the women, and then he showed himself another way to the men. And I see in our lab today, he does the same thing.
Yes.
He reveals himself differently to each of us, in our lives. He doesn't always reveal himself in the same manner.
Absolutely. And by showing us that, I believe it's teaching us to judge not. Teaching us, again, if he showed us the whole picture, we would have a whole different interpretation. Okay, so he gives us a little bit at a time, because that really is all our spirits are able to develop. And so I believe that this is these are all lessons of how even to do ministry, what our ministry stance should be. And they were on their knees; they were at his feet, bowed down on their knees. That was their ministry position. And I am so sure that as women of God, that's our ministry position, on our knees. Not that men shouldn't be, because they should, but I see that as being part of the mission, and that's how it's to look. You know, being prayerful in these prayer watches. You know, having that, we were saying that prayer position that Minister Pat often shares with us during times of training and teaching, but that position of bowing down, being in prayer, and being in worship, and then getting up and being obedient to the assignment task for us, and not to do it, lording it in a spirit of haughtiness, but rather in one of humility. And he said, he told you, oh man, what he requires, and it's not a lot, but it's to love mercy, to do justly, and to walk humbly with him. And in doing that, he's showing us, this is how you do that. This is how mm-hmm. meet the mandate that he has for man. And part of that is for woman to be in a position of interceding, of prayer, a position of obedience, and a position of submission and of honoring the head. And so we just want to get all of these nuggets, all of these treasures out of you know, scripture that we've read before, you know, and just see them in a different light and in a different circumstance. I believe that we have Bishop
Absolutely.
Online. Amen. So I would love to have a male perspective as well shared this morning. Hallelujah. Bishop?
Yes, I am here. You can hear me?
Yes, sir.
I wasn't sure. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm definitely just enjoying the different perspectives as well. I was thinking of a portion as you were talking about the women, Christ revealing himself to the women first. And I was remembering a scripture where Christ walked on the water and the disciples was in the boat, and part of that scripture says, and the men screamed with terror, one version of it. And I was sitting here like, yeah, I'm glad he went to the women first, because if we screamed in a boat, it would have been chaos in the house. ghost! Ghost! No, it was me, Jesus. No, he's mine. I can see him running. And just reflecting on that, because I think as a man, I mean,
yeah.
we talk. You just talked about being able to, you know, trust what God has given you at that moment and not trying to get the big picture. And I think as a male, you know, it has to be concrete for us. What do you mean Christ is alive? I saw him dead. I heard he was dead. Not even being there, but I heard. And, you know,
right.
so-and-so told me he died. Brother John told me he was dead. So John saw
yeah.
him die. You know it's got to be legit, and we just take that information and bank on it and also have a difficult time processing that. Man, my friend is gone, my brother's gone, my master's gone, the person I revered, and I think comparison as a male, you know, to see what Christ went through,
yeah.
and then, like, hold on, I recognized you as the Son of God. I know what type of backing you have, and for you to allow this to happen to you, what does that say about me? And I remember I was on my job, and we had a change in leadership, and, you know, one guy came to me and said, oh, Dr. Isaac, don't you worry about it. Everything going to be okay. You know, that's my boy. You ain't got to worry about anything. All right, so you just stay cool. The next day, he was being escorted out the door. So I'm looking like, well, if that's your boy, and he's sending you out the door, I don't have a relationship with him. What is he going to do to me? You know, and you know, that messes with the male psychology, you know, because I think we bank on those relationships and things to that nature, and so to seek their king go through that, on whether they understood the relationship or who he really was, but to see him go through that after they know, and it's like, man,
mm-hmm.
took him down, man, this must gonna be a piece of cake to take me down, and having to wrestle with that. You know, and having to deal with that and everything. And it's a disappointment as well. Everything that he said, you know, the kingdom teachings and, you know, the kingdom of God is like this and the kingdom of God is like that and you have to be like this. And you're banking on those words and you're seeing beyond freedom. and then like, well, he's gone now. And what am I supposed to do? Just grab the mantle and run with it? And, you know, I mean, it was just a lot. And so I'm soaking all of it in, just kind of like looking at my own processes and just kind of like, you know, remember just a conversation yesterday. Somebody asked me flat out, well, Doc, if you know the scriptures real well from what I gather, you trust in the Lord, why are you agonizing over the situation? And I could not even respond. I had to sit there and was like, that is a very good question. I don't know. And just having to work that. But it brought me to a place that said, you know, God, I trust you. I have to trust you. I don't know what else to do. And I think in that moment, you get that, and Jesus appears before them. You know, touch my wounds.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get that that type of moment. Because for other people, after he broke the scriptures and they realized who was with them, he just disappears. And yet you had that flip side of, you know, after you're in a place where you can listen, he shows up. You know, and so, you know, I definitely love that. And I love the conversation, the dialogue that's just going on. So,
praise the Lord. And we appreciate a male perspective because it helps us to be able to more accurately fulfill our destiny. Hushin two walk together except they agree. And in agreements there has to be an understanding. And he says, know those that labor among you. We need to understand that. We need to know. We need that perspective of not just different, the difference between men's task and their position and women, but also the young and the old, the difference that exists just because of the giftings that are in us. You know, and so everybody is not going to have the same response and not going to be working, or I don't want to say working out their own soul salvation as, but in working out their ministry task the same way because of the perspective that they're coming from. And we need that understanding of one another so that we pray more effectively for one another, so that we can give support. That's one of the things that we want to do as we go through these seven next words of Christ, is to respond to what Christ did. And part of that is, you know, sharing with others, assisting others where they are. You know, if they are, you know, in the room scared to death or whatever it is, but how do we assist with that? You know, we do it humbly. We do it by declaring, you know, a greeting over them, declaring the word of God over them, greeting them as to the place that they need to be in, you know, based on what we're doing as it relates to the prayer watch declarations and things. And so all of these things are part of what our response to what Christ did in those 40 days. When we look at these words, we want to, you know, there's the four steps or items that we want to be able to embrace, and one is the reveal. What does that word reveal to us? And then we want to reflect on that revelation to us, and then we want to respond to it, and then we want to refine it by incorporating it in our life and it refining our walk with God, because it was put there so that we would be edified and Christ could be glorified. So how do we do it? What will be our response, you know, to others based on this greeting and second set of words, don't be afraid, that Christ shared with the women who were, look, the women of God that were looking for him. I am excited about these, the next word as well. because that word is the third word we'll look at next week, is what are you so concerned about? What are you so concerned about? And that will come from Luke 24. Yes, Bishop. Luke 24, 13. 24. And I
I'm just trying to digest this.
Absolutely. I love it. Because, Minister,
Minister Paulette, you were talking about revealing. I met a lady yesterday, I'll make it short, and her husband had passed. And so I was just, you know, telling her, you know, that, you know, the Lord would comfort her, you know, sharing with her. And then she told me, she said, you know, he brought me out of the concentration camp. I said, see, he revealed himself to you already mightily by delivering you from the concentration camp. I said, he revealed himself to me through scripture, but he revealed himself to you mightily through delivering you through that. So you be encouraged that he's going to bring you through your sorrow and the loss of your husband. And then I just embraced her. And she embraced me, and she thanked me for encouraging her and her daughter, you know. And that came to my mind, you know, how revealing himself in one's lives differently.
Absolutely. What a wonderful response to the Word of God. What a wonderful response. I mean, I think that's a wonderful response. And honestly, I'm excited even about Bishop's response. You know, he has to teach the women because they'd have been scared to death. I mean, I just love, I love the ministry of laughter and the ministry of really being honest to a point where we really do see clearly. And so it's easier to digest because it's just so real. There's nothing you can do but laugh and go, yep, right, okay. You know, that's us. I'm so excited about just the ministry partners online that share with us. It makes such a difference in what we put forth on the airwaves. We're taking over the airwaves, Jesus Christ. This needs to be a fun time, a real time, a revealing time, a time of reflection. All of those things are necessary. All of those things are a part of life and living. All of those things are a part of us coming together where we can see, you know, the different perspectives and honestly, you know, get insight as to what our next thing can be. So while we're in laughter and while we're realizing the revelation and it brings laughter, then it makes the next thing that he's going to tell us, it'll go down smoother too. Mm-hmm. Like that sandwich effect, you know, something good and hit them with the mix up, then something else together. You have a wonderful sandwich and be able to swallow and eat the whole scroll, okay? So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We have 90 seconds. Yes.
I was just going to say that, you know, when and I'm glad Bishop made that comment and we didn't, but the whole idea when he's telling them not to be afraid and the highlighting of the women, because when you look at the parallel passages that talk about this in Mark 16 and in Luke 24, it highlights women. And, you know, in one of them it talks about that it is Mary Magdalene and that there have been seven cast out of her. And then it goes on to talk about Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. And I think given them the status of women, how compassionate and gracious God is to us to show us what a elevated position, and I don't mean elevated over men. I'm just mean the women being there and using the women, and to that the scriptures would highlight that women were being used and that we do that that's pro without being anti. Because he didn't say anything negative about the men not being there. He just acknowledged the women, you know, greeted the women, acknowledged the women, and comforted them and telling them not to be afraid, and then gave them the task. And go and tell my brother.
Absolutely.
You know, he didn't say anything disparaging about the men not being there because he knew, you know, exactly how this was going to turn out. It just shows how much God loves us and is concerned for us, that we get what we need, you know, that we all get what we need, and everybody still needs to be on their job, you know. So it's like, okay,
absolutely.
You know, you're here, don't be afraid, now go tell the brethren, you know.
Yes. And you know what
else?
Being
unified, you know, a unified body.
Yes, absolutely. And when you were speaking, I had such an image, or maybe it's a vision. It was an image of the last time the woman was in the garden. She messed up really bad.
Mm.
And she went and told her husband to do what was wrong. And he redeemed us by allowing us to now be a part of his plan of redemption for the world and for men. Now go tell the man to do what I said. You know, and so I just, when you were speaking, it's like in a garden again. And this time, we didn't fail. This time,
praise
we sought and chose him. And I do, I praise God. Hallelujah.
I also like the, if I could, I like there's another brief moment where it really shows the, I won't say soft side, but the purpose of women in a man's life. That moment that she's at the grave site and, you know, she's like, where's my master at? She's this defender, this protector. Like, where have you taken the body? I don't even care who you are right now. I'm worried about you trying to kill me or say I'm out of order. Where have you taken his body so I can go there? Now, what suppose I wanted to arrest you for trespassing? And you talking about where have I taken them so you can go? You know, and that softness there is one thing I know that men miss or misinterpret when it comes to their women. Oh, they're wise, rather, and they will look at that in some form of intimidation, that she's not fighting against you, but she's fighting with you. And when she's responding to the situation with you at your side and saying, you know what, I'm not trying to tear you down. I'm concerned about your destiny and what's about to happen, and I'm faithful to this assignment because I know what's in you, and I know what God has called you to do. And that moment in the grave site reminds me of just of my wife, because I had to work through a lot of that quickly to always think, like, why is this woman more angrier than me about the situation? You need to go through. I was like, you coming at me? And, you know, she had to say, no, I'm angry because you're angry. I'm just like, well, God, okay, let's go ahead and, that's right, tear it down together. But it's that unity that shows that side of a woman that husbands need to understand with their wives, that they are the helpmeet. They are that wonderful helpmeet. And it just needs to be highlighted.
Amen. And that's also part of her redemption or her purpose being, her destiny being divine, being inspired, being of God, in the lives of the man. Because that's part of what God did in the garden. So we do. It is so much of a perspective that once we get it, we not only live in harmony, we live in power. You know, because then we understand. So you understand where your wife is coming from now. You don't have to be mad. You'll be mad, you know? And because she's in that prayer position, you know, that's her, that's part of her destiny. Not, and I'm not saying that men aren't. They are to be in prayer in that prayer position. And yet that is something that's been, certain ones have assignments, and that's the assignment on us, and to find ourselves in it, and being purposefully, you know, doing it the way God wants, will bring such power into the body of Christ. It will transform the world. It truly, truly, truly will. And so I do. I thank God. It's a, any other comments and sharing and insights? If the line's open, you're free to. Okay. We thank God for this day and pray that we will meet again next week looking at the third prayer watch. The third prayer watch. So again, I say good day. Have a beautiful day in the Lord. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Great. All right.